You're gonna have to wear a mask at all times when visiting Disney Springs.
What do you say you and me take a walk over to the tavern?
Let's pull up a chair.
A little something to eat.
Welcome to the Mouse and Castle.
Come on, Johnny, what are we waiting for?
This is a gathering place for fans of all things Disney. So sit back,
chow down,
have some sips, and chit-chat about the magical world created by Walt Disney.
For too long, I've been parched of thirst and unable to quench it.
Well, hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Mouse and Castle podcast. I'm your host, Riley Blanton. So glad to have you on board here as we talk all things Disney. We're talking parks, Disney Plus, films. Listen, it's just a couple of guys wishing that the parks were open and desperately hoping our next planned visit does not fall through. Which is probably like most of you listening, if I had to take a guess. Let's bring him in. It's Mr. Aaron Goins. Have you made any... You've made some reservations, right, for this fall?
Well, I'm actually in line waiting for the Disney Springs opening.
Wait, we're live?
I'm camped out.
Live from...
On location.
Yeah. Actually, so the venerable Scott Rifen has all of his bookings for July. He's still going to try to go. So I have a verbal agreement from him to be a field reporter for us if we somehow can't make it in the sooner time frame. We might get a field report here on the podcast. A first, actually. But it'll be interesting to see as we listened on the last episode. We were talking about all of the plans, but now as we record this... On May 19th, it is the day before Disney Springs opens. So a lot of stuff going on. And
I think July is kind of, wow. Like just the fact that he's keeping his plans for July is surprising to me.
Yeah, he's hoping for the best. He's not 100% sure, but he's definitely kept his reservations. Hasn't postponed or anything, and so I mean, I guess if he's forced to,
and try to book some stuff, like just because I wanted to feel like I was doing something, like planning a Disney trip. So there's a tentative, like what that weekend that the Wine and Dine half marathon. That's typically when we go.
I was going to ask if that was the weekend you were looking at.
So that was the weekend that I was thinking. Well, even though I haven't signed up for the half marathon, and I don't think I'm going to. I thought, you know what, I'm just going to pretend I'm going to Disney that weekend. So I went ahead and booked like some reservations for food and that type of stuff.
That is a bit of news from you that we haven't actually talked about on the show, but you did decide not to do the Wine and Dine this year, just taking the year off?
Yeah, I think what's happened with the Disney races is they've gotten to the point where they sell out so fast.
Yeah.
And if you remember when me and you ran it in 2017 the first time.
Yeah, we signed up in August. Yeah.
Uh-huh. For the race that was happening in November.
Good times.
And now you have to sign up as soon as they go on sale within hours. Otherwise, you're not going to get in. And this time it was just too far in advance for me to really know what I was going to be doing.
Yeah.
At that time. And it felt like we had already just run the last one. You know, we just did the last one in November. Yeah. And you're already signing up for the next one. So I was just not ready to make that commitment.
Yeah, yeah. No, I hear you, man. I think it was January or February when it opened up. And I'm lucky. Like, I was on shift work, on night shift at that time. I was asleep. So my then-fiance, Savannah, she happened to be up at work. And God bless her. Like, prior to, she knew I really wanted to this year. Because we had a good time last year and really wanted to do it again. It'd be like our first... doing that Wine and Dine last year together was a big part of our relationship in the year going into getting married. So it was like this really great memories of the training plan and working together towards a goal. It was her first half marathon. It was just we really had a great time. And so that I was really wanted to do it. So I was like, so can you keep an eye out and order it? So she's literally at work. Loaded the site, and the site took forever to load. And I think maybe after a half hour, 45 minutes, she was lucky enough for it to load. And there are some other Disney fans at her job who were also trying to, who did not get in, and they were literally there waiting for the site to load.
Oh,
and
wow.
It just didn't load in time for them. And so that's how crazy it was. It was, I think, within an hour, honestly. And so you're right. You have to like sign up for these things basically instantly, which I guess it just shows how popular they've become. But who knows? Maybe if you're down there that weekend, we're lucky enough to get tickets to it. I'm training for that too this year, so I'll be back at it. This is the problem though. It's beautiful spring weather. I've got the running bug, so
I need to get back out there. I mean, I'm getting to the point now where my body's just trying to tell me to retire.
Yeah.
As far as anything that's not nice to my knees.
Might be the 10K next year or something.
It might be time to downgrade to the 10K and then kind of slowly. I don't want to stop doing them because they are amazing events.
Yes.
And so I'm looking at kind of what the next one I could possibly do is. But
yeah.
For now, I'm not doing the wine and dine. And although we may be down there that weekend, but it's still kind of alternative. And who knows if, you know, what's going to be going on as far as the parks even being open.
Yeah. Well, you know what's not tentative at all is Frozen. The Broadway show has officially played its final performance, marking the end of an era and the first Disney Broadway show that has just been completely canceled. It's not even postponed or anything like that. They literally shuttered the entire performance. It's pretty sad.
Yeah, it's really sad because I feel like, although I've always enjoyed musicals and, you know, being a big fan of Disney animation growing up, you know, you kind of have to enjoy musicals.
Yeah.
Because that's what they are. And I've always, even non-Disney musicals, like, you know, The Greatest Showman, that type of stuff, I've always enjoyed. But I never really went and watched Broadway shows until recently. I did my first off-Broadway, you know, Broadway traveling show with Hamilton in Philadelphia, and then I went up to Broadway and watched a show recently as well. So now I'm getting that kind of bug.
Oh, yeah?
I'm like, I love musicals. Now I've been introduced to Broadway, and I live close enough to New York. I'm like thinking, oh, this is going to become a regular thing. And being a Disney fan, I definitely wanted to see Frozen. I want to see Aladdin. I want to see Lion King. Mm. So the fact that Frozen, you know, kind of abruptly has ended before I got a chance to see it, I'm like, yeah. Oh, that really... That's sad. I don't think you got a chance to see this one.
No,
did you?
The my first Broadway show of any kind was the Disney Aladdin, which you can go back a couple episodes to hear my review on it. But that was my first on or off Broadway show. It was great. It was an incredible performance, and I thoroughly enjoyed it. And there's something about the energy of the community environment of everyone gathering. Hey, remember that was a thing. But no, right. it was. And if you listen to I remember seeing this news and being sad because my Spotify playlist had rotated in the Frozen Broadway soundtrack because I had been listening to the freaking Frozen 2 soundtrack so much. It was like, let's vary it up a little, Riley. You're going a little crazy. So the Broadway soundtrack is amazing, and there's a lot of musical expansion to the songs that we all know and love from the movies. That's done in a really It's a really sort of full force musical that you would expect if you listen to just the soundtrack. So I remember hearing the soundtrack and wanting to go see it. So it sounds like that won't be a possibility unless I do one of there are a few overseas productions that might still happen. It looks like,
yeah.
But
they're doing a traveling show right now too, which obviously is, you know, kind of currently postponed, but they still have dates far enough out that, there will be some shows of Frozen kind of across the country, just not on Broadway. But even looking at that schedule, there's nothing that's coming close to me. You know, the closest city I think they're coming to for me is Boston, which is not close. You know, it's on the East Coast, but it's definitely not close. So I'm, you know, even then, unless I really made a, you know, specific targeted travel plans to go to a city where it's going to be playing, that would be, you know, that would be kind of our last opportunity to check it out.
Yeah. No, exactly. It's one of those things, man. It's just a part of the current world we live in. But hey, it's not all curses. There are some blessings in the midst of all this, including you mentioned Hamilton, which I know is one of your favorites, but surprise everybody, they're dropping it on Disney Plus July 3rd. Which I didn't even know this was a thing that was coming out, but they're gonna release a theatrical version, essentially, of the Hamilton performance in theaters, and they're just it was going to be next year, but they're just dropping it right now on Disney Plus.
Yeah, that's so cool. I cannot wait. Hamilton is one of those things that I discovered it late. You know, I know it's been a thing since like 2015, but I just discovered it kind of within the past couple of years. And, you know, once I did discover it, I fell in love with it. You know, I listened to the music all the time, and I did get a chance to finally go see it. And that was amazing. It didn't let me down at all. And I have a friend at work. His name, I'll give him a shout out because I know he listens to our podcast. My friend Tim Bjorgen, he is a huge Disney fan, just like me, and would talk about Disney stuff all the time and going to the parks and all of that. But then when I discovered Hamilton, I kind of shared it with him, and then he fell in love with it as much as me. So we would even have conversations about how we wished Hamilton was owned by Disney, because we're like, oh, that'd be so cool if they could have Hamilton stuff at the parks, and you know, it'd be like a Disney and Hamilton would be like the same thing. Maybe they could release a feature film. And so when the news came out that Disney had bought the rights to kind of, you know, to release the theatrical version of this Broadway show, it was almost like we had wished it to happen, you know, and it actually happened. So,
and so yeah, this is the original theatrical cast, correct?
Yeah, so this is the original Broadway cast.
Broadway cast, yeah.
Apparently, toward the end of the original run with the original cast, they filmed, I believe, at least three of the shows.
Mm.
And they're going to use, you know, kind of they're going to cut together the best stuff. And then I think they also filmed scenes specifically just for the release, so they didn't have an audience. It was just, they just filmed some scenes so they could get really good camera angles.
Well, that's cool.
And then they also did, I believe, some stuff that was just kind of not even on stage. Like they did some other stuff. So apparently it's going to be a bit of a surprise exactly how it all comes together.
Oh, interesting.
So even if you've seen Hamilton, you haven't seen this version of Hamilton.
It's kind of a hybrid. It's not like a full theatrical remake, but
yeah. And yeah, exactly. It's going to be mostly the stage show as they performed it in Broadway, but there's going to be some other elements too. And I know there's some scenes that, you know, maybe added or different. I don't know. It'll be very interesting to see, but I think it'll be a new experience even for people that have seen Hamilton, even if you've seen it multiple times. So I can't wait. And the fact that it's coming out more than a year early on Disney Plus, because it was supposed to be coming out on Disney Plus when they first announced it, wasn't going to come out until October of 2021.
Yeah.
So the fact that they are releasing it, you know, more than a year early, and that's, you know, in July 3rd, which is perfect timing.
Mm.
I think, you know, as soon as that thing pops up on Disney Plus, I'm like more excited for this than I was for Mandalorian.
Yeah.
Don't tell my Star Wars friend.
Yes, I'll keep it a secret. Savannah's pretty excited about it. We're looking forward to watching it together. I think it's honestly a pretty perfect match. I love the Hamilton experience that I've only experienced through the soundtrack. I've never seen any performance of it, so I'm looking forward to it. It'll be my first exposure, at least to seeing the play. So that'll be a lot of fun. But all right, we got one other thing that I wanted to talk about on the show with you, Aaron, and we teased it at the top of the show, but Disney Springs. It's the first reopening that we're seeing stateside, really, from Disney. Tomorrow, as we record, actually the day this podcast comes out, May 20th, Disney Springs is reopening. And they actually had like a little bit of a media event, which is kind of funny because typically they do a media event for, you know, when they're opening a new attraction or land or area or something. But here it's just like a media event to, I think, hopefully build the public confidence that they know what they're doing with sanitation and social distancing. That seems to be kind of what they were up to.
Yeah, I guess because there's so many questions about how this is going to go down, and if it's going to be a complete disaster. You know, I think that Disney's thinking, well, if we can build some confidence early on, and you know, invite some media and show, you know, put our best foot forward, then maybe we can get some positive buzz going into this. So it's a very Disney thing to do.
Yeah, no, it is, and they don't want just like, hey, we're meeting the state requirements, right? According that the government of Florida is requiring us to do that. This is about consumer confidence, which, listen, there's in many ways Disney's going to deal with a crisis in consumer confidence in the way that every major company is. So they're among the first to showcase this as far as what their health and safety protocols are going to be. I can't really say it better than you. You shot me a link to this guy's Twitter, Robert Guatemala. He is a reporter for Fox 35 at Orlando, and he was at the preview event. Let's take a listen to this little sneak peek of him talking.
Hey everybody, Robert Guadarrama here at Disney Springs. That is opening tomorrow.
Pausing it for a second. I can't believe I actually got his name right. I was really nervous about that. I was like, I just went for it. I was totally guessing.
Reopening to the public. I know a lot of folks are super excited, but it's going to look a little different than when you last came to Disney Springs, starting right here. This is in the Lime Garage. When you park, you will have to first go through a screening. Hand sanitizing stations all over the place. And of course, you will need to go through a temperature check before you are led onto Disney Springs property. Of course, you see right now I'm wearing the mask. You're going to have to wear a mask at all times when visiting Disney Springs. You'll want to join us. We're actually about to take a media tour today, and we're going to have all the details throughout the day on Fox 35 News. Stay with us.
There he is. They kind of went all out.
Yeah. It was weird seeing it. Like, I watched this video, and he did a number of videos throughout the day. I think I don't know how many exactly he posted, but I watched a couple of them. And it's just kind of weird to see, you know, because he's talking about the Lime Garage. You know, we've been to the Lime Garage how many times?
That's where we always park, usually, yeah.
Yeah, and we see, you know, kind of this, you know, these people in masks and the fact that, you know, checking in and getting your temperature taken. And it's just a weird kind of thing where it does make you question. It's like, okay, it's cool that Disney Springs is opening, but do I want to go right now? You know, do I want that to be my return to Disney experience, or do I want to wait this thing out a little bit?
Yeah, it's we were talked about it on the last podcast. We were like, mask, temperature checks, is our temperature checks too invasive? Answer, probably not. If they're doing it here at Disney Springs, I can guarantee you that's what they're going to do if they want to reopen the parks.
Oh, absolutely.
But what this tells me, too, though, is that they're ready to open now and compromise that customer experience and do temperature checks at the parks. That's what this tells me, is that we expect, until a vaccine comes out, I imagine, or at least while we're getting the kind of numbers where we are, even though the curve's kind of flattened and we're seeing some reopening, I imagine with the reopening comes an increase in spread to some degree. And with a big international destination like Disney, I imagine they will just keep the temperature checks at each of the parks just based on what we're seeing here.
Yeah. And the, you know, even just with this opening of Disney Springs, they're, you know, it's a testing. They're testing what the response is going to be. You know, what are the crowds going to look like tomorrow? Is it going to be just absolutely packed because everyone's just waiting to get back to Disney and it's the first thing that Disney's opening? Or are people going to wait it out and it's going to be kind of weirdly empty? So it will be interesting to see how this impacts the Disney park openings, because you would have to think that if it is a huge crowd and everyone's just waiting to get back, that might speed up their plans for the park's opening because they see the demand. Whereas if it's crickets and nobody comes, they might think, you know what, guys, let's hold off on the parks for a little bit because we don't want a crickets opening to our parks.
Yeah. It's about the brand. I hate to say, cause there's already, you know, a lot of jobs that have been lost and careers that are cut short and, you know, financial and economic hard times. Having said that, though, Disney's pretty uniquely positioned to be able to burn whatever cash they need to while they keep the park closed until they can have a successful reopening. A successful reopening, losing money in the short term, is far better than a horror show that, you know, tarnishes the reputation.
So I don't know if you were planning to play any more of his clips.
I do have one more here.
Okay, I didn't want to. I there were a couple other things I wanted to discuss, but I didn't want to like jump ahead of it before you.
I think that because this one will probably spawn some interesting conversation. This is back to Robert talking a little bit about some of the social distancing measures. This ought to be interesting.
Now we are on property at Disney Springs, and these gals are part of the greeting team. They'll actually be roaming around the entertainment complex, reminding people to social distance, also what protocols are in place to keep everyone safe, and kind of entertaining the kids, making it fun for the kids rather than more of an inconvenience taking these steps.
Making it fun for the kids.
As they're shouting in the background of the entire video.
I like your mask. Yeah, I think it doesn't have the same effect when you just hear the audio.
Yeah.
But when you see the video of these greeters out there in their masks and kind of overly animated and waving, and I don't know how much of that they're playing it up because the cameras are there, probably.
I'm sure.
I don't know that they'll be necessarily acting like that the entire time, but it was kind of, I'm watching it like, oh my gosh, please no. This is, you know, I don't necessarily need someone to be my cheerleader to have a good time. You know, that's what it seemed like they were doing there.
Yeah, I mean, I understand where they're coming from, but it'll be interesting to see how effective this is. That's one thing I've realized. It's very difficult. Here in the metropolis of Sumter, South Carolina, you can't even get people to follow the properly marked like grocery aisle lines.
Right.
So I don't know how much enforcing that 6 foot distance is. I mean, God bless them. They're going to try, but it seems.
Don't you think that though Disney goers are a little bit already trained kind of obey the Disney rules?
Are you saying they're maybe a little more conformist?
Yeah, because I think at least for people that go pretty regularly, you kind of know what you're getting into when you go to Disney. You know, because they do have, you know, they have a very structured way that the parks work. And when there's a parade coming, they tape that thing off. They have certain, you know, places you can walk, places you can't.
Uh-huh.
And people
That's pretty much,
you know, they do it in a very friendly way. And they guide you to the right place. And it seems to really flow pretty well. Same with the fireworks shows and that. They mark off certain areas. You can't sit here, but you can sit here. But you never feel like they're being mean about it. It's always very polite. They're always fun. And I think that that's kind of probably what they're going to be going for with this stuff too, because they are going to have to, you know, enforce these rules. They're going to have to tell people you need to wear your mask. You can't walk this close to people. They're going to have to be constantly walking around and kind of moderating the way people are acting. And that will be a very interesting experiment to see how much people will conform. You know, there's already a lot of controversy around all these measures that are being taken, and like, do we really need to wear a mask? Does it really help? And there's already people that are protesting it. So like, are you going to get, you know, this crowd at Disney where you have people coming up and saying, hey, you need to wear your mask, you know, put your mask on. Let me see that mask.
Yeah.
You know, with the big smile, and they're like, shut up, leave me alone. I'm not putting my mask on. You know, like how, it's
yeah.
Gonna
how
be
do
very,
you do that? Like, I do think it's odd though. As I was reading the rules that they published on the Disney Parks blog about like some of the tactics that the enforcers will be using, I thought it was odd of them to use loudspeakers and just play. That's just blast. You know, let's just blast a little bit of like, remember to access the Disney magic. You are now a part of the People's Republic of Disney World. And you must abide. You're right, though. There is a more strict social contract that Disney goers follow. So I can't argue with you. And listen, pardon my facetious humor, but it is kind of true. There's a stricter social norm when it comes to Disney parks, and they have sort of perfected that.
Yeah, if any place does it well, it's Disney. And I'm sure they're going to have their hiccups, you know, and they're going to probably have incidents, and people are going to be filming it because that's what people do.
Oh, yeah, we're going to see all those viral videos.
People are going to be, you know, they're going to go there for that purpose. They're going to get their cameras out. They're going to try to catch Disney stumbling and trying to catch a cast member losing their temper. You know, there's going to be stuff. But, you know, Disney does typically do very well in crowd control, and I think that this will be a true test to see how good they are at it. But I mean, I saw some of the videos he was showing and some of the other things he was talking about, and even some of their strategies on, you know, kind of the walkways, you know, where there may be a pedestrian bridge that typically would just allow, you know, people coming from both directions and kind of commingling, but now they're going to make it so it's only like a one-way bridge, so only you know, you could walk this direction on it, but people can't walk the other direction. So it's kind of controlling the flow of traffic so people aren't getting as close.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think that once again, this is a great testing ground, Disney Springs is, because Disney Springs, although it's a shopping, you know, and restaurant type area, it's not necessarily a park. It's not too dissimilar from a layout of an amusement park. So they can really test some of this, you know, traffic flow and the way they're doing it at Disney Springs and maybe implement some of those ideas over to the parks.
Yeah. It will be, I'm sure this is definitely a testing ground because, you know, the same people that sat down and were at the drawing board of like, hey, how do we reinvent the traffic flow at Disney Springs? Those are going to be the same people that are doing the exact same thing at each of the Disney parks, for sure.
Yep.
Yeah. All right, Aaron, let's talk about some Disney Plus. It's kind of a thing now on the show, which I like. It's just touching base on something Disney that we've discovered or rediscovered in the world of Disney and on Disney Plus. You want to kick us off this week?
Sure. I'm going to stick with the Broadway theme.
Okay.
We were talking about Frozen on Broadway and Hamilton. Another Broadway show is Newsies, which I never got a chance to see on Broadway.
Okay.
But Disney Plus has the full Broadway show on Disney Plus. So, which is very cool because I didn't even know that. I just happened to come across it when I was on Disney Plus. And I think it's probably a good, maybe even preview of what to expect from something like Hamilton. Because you can tell they purposely filmed it with the intention that this is going to be presented on a different medium. So they took a lot of different camera angles, a lot of close-ups, and it's a really cool way to experience that Broadway show if you never got to see it on Broadway. So, and I think it's a bit of a hidden gem on Disney Plus because there's not a lot of other Broadway shows that are available live anywhere.
Yeah.
And this is a pretty popular show. And then the movie Newsies itself that this Broadway show is based on is also on Disney Plus, starring Christian Bale.
And I still haven't seen it, man. I got to take your recommendation and watch this thing.
Oh, definitely. You guys, if you're a fan of musicals, hands down, you have to watch. I would recommend probably watching the movie first.
Okay.
Just to get a sense for the story and kind of what they're going for. And then, you know, maybe check out the Broadway show because it is different. You know, it's the same basic story, but they change up some of the characters and make it a little bit more Broadway. And and some of the music numbers are different, but it's very, I highly recommend both versions and they're both on Disney Plus.
Okay, nice. Yeah, I will check it out. I'm adding that to my list for sure. And that's kind of why I wanted to do this segment as an ongoing basis, Aaron, because I think it's a lot of fun to just kind of dig into some of the content that's out there, including my pick for this week, as me and my wife are looking at the possibility of getting a little puppy, getting a dog, something of which Aaron, you and I texted back and forth about, which by the way, it's up in the air. It's probably, it looks like it might be a next year thing. But I say all that to say, when I saw the new show on Disney Plus, which is entitled A Dog's Life, featuring Bill Farmer, voice of Goofy, I was like, I gotta watch this. It's literally a sort of National Geographic docuseries that is just Bill Farmer, the voice of Goofy and many other classic Disney characters for like the last 30 years, who likes dogs a lot. And it's an excuse to give him a lot of money to go travel around the country to meet really cool dogs doing different really cool things. And the first episode is about a service dog that works with like a marine biologist that tracks down whale poop in the ocean. And he's trained to sense it. And he like stands on the edge of the boat and points his little nose in the right direction. And they follow him to find the whales. And it's the coolest thing ever. And it's Bill Farmer. And it's the weirdest premise, but it's very mesmerizing to watch. And he's got a very kind of... Yeah, rambunctious, fun personality. And it was obvious that like he has a long time history with the company. And he's like, hey, you need content for this new streaming service. Why don't you pay me money to go meet dogs?
That's obviously what happened. So it's him live. So it's not just a voiceover?
Yeah, no, he does voiceover. And they do some cute animations too. But it's literally him just hosting this travel show. It's great.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I'll have to check that out. My son is a big fan of that kind of stuff. So I think he'd really enjoy. He loves any kind of documentary about dogs.
Well, and it's a great format too, because it's about 25 minutes, I want to say maybe half hour, and it splits two segments, so you kind of meet two puppies, and it's a nice it's not too involved. It's a very simple premise, but I loved it. It's a lot of fun, and it was recently, like last week, featured on it. So highly, highly recommend it. Mr. Aaron Goins, tell me where people can find you on the internet, sir. It's time to wrap up, sadly, this episode of the Mouse and Castle podcast.
You can find me on the internet, on Twitter, mainly at AV Goins. And I'm also on Instagram under the same handle.
Yeah, awesome. And make sure you follow the actual show itself. Don't forget, at Mouse and Castle for Twitter and Instagram. I've been posting some fun news stories here and there on our Twitter account, and some fun photos as well on our Instagram, so make sure you're following us there. I'm also available at The Riley Guy, R-I-L-E-Y, and you can stay in touch with us in between shows that way. Also, check out anywhere where you get podcasts. Leave us a rating and review. It's super easy, especially if you are using the Apple Podcasts app. Just hop in there, leave us a star rating and review. It really helps get the word out about the show. And otherwise, share the show with Disney friends that you know. If you enjoy the podcast and know anybody else who would, spread the word, spread the love, and we do appreciate it. You can also follow us on Facebook. It's facebook.com/mousecastle. And then email is mouseandcastle@gmail.com. That's where you can shoot us an email, and we can feature it on the show and talk about your thoughts on the world of Disney and all this craziness of the reopening and stuff. Especially if you're, throwing it out there, if you're going to Disney Springs in the next week or so, I'd love to get some field reports. Shoot us an email. We'd love to hear from you. That's going to do it for this episode of the Mouse and Castle podcast. Thanks so much for listening, guys, and we'll be with you next time on the Mouse and Castle. Aaron, I punted.
You did punt.
I was like, it's not happening. Listen, there have been two tequila sunrises, and I'm like, there's no way I'm going to come up with anything remotely clever. It's not even going to be funny that I slightly messed it up. It's just going to be bad. So we're out. This music makes me miss the parks.
Oh, man. I know. I can't. Oh.